Amen. Thank you for that choir. Thank you for that church. As we dismiss our children, the children's church, those fifth grade and below, I ask you to find your Bibles, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10 will be the scriptures that we read. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. I want to ask you, if you will, to stand in honor of reading God's Word this morning. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, they read like this. Brothers, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. Carrying one another's burdens in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each person should examine his own work. Then he will have a reason for boasting in himself alone and not in respect to someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load. The one who is taught the message must share all his good things with the teacher. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So we must not get tired of doing good. For we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Father, for your word. I pray, Father, you'd hide me behind the cross. May it be you and you alone on this scene. Father, may the preparation and the presentation be honoring and glorifying your name. Your Son, Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Over the past few weeks, we've gone through the word serve, and we've had each week spelling the word serve, S-E-R-V-E, each letter standing for an acronym, if you will, as we progress through, and we've been had a focus upon the word serve. And I don't know if it's me or you people have been listening or if God's bringing to my attention. I have heard that word serve more and more often, it seems like. It appears to me like. Not only from yourself, but I've seen it in my own life, my own activities, if you will, how God has revealed to me that it's very important that we as God's children be serving Him and be serving one another. So it's important for us to understand this word serve. But as we continue, we've come to the letter V in the word serve. But I want to just kind of recap what we've looked at over the past few weeks. The letter S was see the future. In other words, we need to have a teachable heart, a sacrificial heart, and a prayerful heart. Letter E was to engage and to develop others. In other words, we must trust in, be nursed for, and surrender to the Lord. A big picture, this letter R was the central of the word, the middle of the road, if you will, the middle of the word. And we looked at last week through our graduates and rising to the occasion. But the central focus is on one word, faith. Faith. That's the central theme of each and every step of our life as followers of Jesus Christ. Faith. We must trust in, we need faith for the journey. We need faith for the journey. We need faith as we face opposition. And we need faith to finish. We have to have faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and trust and rely upon Him. Today, the letter V is value relationships. Value relationships. I was going to tell myself real quick, like this morning, I got up, got ready, preparing this morning, kind of getting ready, and to deliver the message this morning that God laid upon my heart. I came to church, I was ready, well, things were going smooth. Well, I normally every morning I'll go out to the annex and I'll just recap kind of look up, get a game plan, if you will, how I feel like the Lord wants me to deliver the message, because at many different times that message changes to some extent, to some degree. I've got notes, but we don't necessarily follow after them. Sometimes we do, and sometimes we do not. But I got to notice that it was about 12 till. Time's drawing nigh. And Greg noticed and recognized he didn't have his glasses. I just want to tell you something. When God started freaking my heart about these glasses and relationships, you know, I can see Wade very plainly. I can see Mr. Teresa very plainly. I can tell who you are and call you by name. All my name, what's going on? I can read for a little while without glasses. I can be all right without these glasses. But in time, things start to jumble up, run together, and I need them so I can see clearly. In relationships, we can live life alone. We can go through our daily activities, face our struggles by ourselves. But there comes a point in our lives, number one, where will we spend eternity is all revolved around our relationship with Jesus Christ. But God did not create us to live life alone. He created us to live life together. And actually, the truth be known, if you were to be honest, life is much simpler when we live life together. Yes, we're going to have differences of opinion on occasion. Yes, there's going to be days that we celebrate, there's going to be days that we mourn, there's going to be days of struggle, and there's going to be days of victory. But relationships and living life in community, in unity with one another, is God's plan. And just like these glasses, I need them to see clearly as time goes along. God knows and recognizes we first point we need Him, the most important relationship. But also He knows and He understands why He created community, because we need one another. That's why He created, not Greg, that's why God created the church. So we can live life side by side, hand in hand, facing struggles and difficulties, celebrating life when it comes, a joyous occasion comes our way. It's most important for us to understand and recognize we need one another. And God is the one that created us to recognize this. The first thing as we begin our message this morning on valuing relationships, in order for us to serve someone, we must first value them. In order for us to serve someone, we must first value them. You see, we need to recognize a person's importance. We need to recognize a person's worth. We need to recognize their usefulness. Now, I know what's running through your mind. We can't find that in everybody. At least that's our thought process. I don't get along with Johnny, or I don't get along with Jane so well. But everyone has a value, and everyone has a worth. In fact, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God proved His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's exactly how valuable we are. And He calls for us to recognize the value of people, the value of relationships. As we go through this morning's message in this book of Galatians, we'll see God revealing the value of a relationship that we should be having, and God gives us ethical commands all throughout the book of Galatians. What are you talking about, Eric? The book of Galatians is established upon opposition to the gospel. People add to. You need Jesus and. You need to add to the equation. You need to, in fact, the Judaizers were saying, you need to follow after the law. And if we remember correctly, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but I fulfill the law. Why? Because you people cannot. That's why Christ
died upon the cross. That's why he lived a life without sin, because we couldn't. That's why he paid the toll, if you will, the punishment, took it on himself. Because he valued that relationship with you. He valued that relationship that he calls for us to have with one another. The last part of this book, if you will, the book of Galatians, it focuses on how believers should live in respect of one another. How believers should have relationships with one another. So, if you fill in the blanks that are within the bulletin, how do I value relationships? Number one is with a gentle spirit. With a gentle spirit. So like I shared with you and setting the stage a moment ago, these Judaizers came in, they said, it takes more than Jesus. In other words, what they were doing, they were coming in and attacking Paul. They were attacking the gospel that he shared. They were attacking his gospel that he preached. He was attacking the truth of God's word. Now, let me ask you a question. When we are attacked, what is our normal response? It's to attack back, isn't it? As Barney said, R-E-V-E-N-G, and Andy goes, revenge? It's revenge. When we're attacked, that's the first thing that comes to our mind. How will I pay them back for what they've done to me? Does that help us to build relationships? No. Absolutely not. And Paul, as he comes in, as he shares, and he mentions the word to restore such a person with a gentle spirit, the person that is against you, what Paul is saying, I know there's people who are attacking me. Churches of Galatia, I know there's people who are attacking. But don't live like them. Don't live like them. Have a gentle spirit. Have a gentle attitude. Paul responded by writing Galatians. He reveals his gentle spirit. We see as Paul is writing this, the opposition that he's facing, because he brings it to the front. He shares those who are in wrongdoing. Those, let's put it in today's terms, those who have attacked you. Those who say that you're friend, they're your friend, but they don't show it. Those who say that they're your brother and sister in Christ, but their words and their actions don't show it. Have a gentle spirit. You see, I'm reminded of a statement, you can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. My wife reminds me of that quite often. And that's biblical. You're thinking, well, where does it say that in God's Word? Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. I think that's exactly what Paul had upon his mind. He said, have a gentle spirit, church. When you're attacked, have a gentle spirit. Why would we need to have a gentle spirit? Because if we have a harsh word, if our friendship does not show that we value the relationship, then chances are highly likely that we're pushing people away from God. See, not only does that harsh word stir up wrath, but that harsh word causes other people to become angry themselves. And even if they started the fight, it doesn't matter who threw the first punch. Jesus finished it on the cross. We need to have a loving attitude towards each and every person. Why does he want us to have this gentle spirit? Because then and only then will people say, you know what, I don't care how much Greg knows until I know how much Greg cares. And say that to us as a church. It's important for us to recognize and to realize our actions and our words, they matter. they matter in the life of not only us as His people, but other people that are around us, that are looking in all types of places, trying to find where they can fill that void that's within them. We know His name is Jesus. It's Jesus alone that can fill that void. Why would we want to attack back, push someone away from the love of the Almighty God? Because of Greg's attitude. Because of Greg's action. Does my value of relationships, is the question I need to ask myself, does my value of relationships push people away from God? Or do they draw people near to Him? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. How do I value relationships? With a gentle spirit. Number two, and you fill in the blank. How do I value relationships? By carrying burdens. By carrying burdens. Now, I don't know if you've caught up on this. I don't know exactly where you're at or what your thinking process may be. But I'm not going to say all people. But I'm going to say a very high majority of people that do the attacking is because they're carrying a burden. Let me say that again. A very high majority. I'm tempted to say all, but I'm not. But a very high majority of the people that do the attacking because they're carrying a burden. You don't know what's going on in anyone else's life. Who they're seeing after, what they're facing at work or school or whatever the struggle they may be. It may be a sport. It may be all types of things. It may be a difficulty that they just can't move past it. And then the first thing, because of the nature that we are, even Greg and Arl, is we lash out. We're carrying a burden, so we lash out. We let it fester and build up instead of meeting at the crossroads of Jesus. Let it fester and build up, and a struggle is just, it can't help but come out. And that burden gets overwhelming. And if you, truth be known, when we lash out, what's happening? If we're crying out for help. Somebody, please help me carry this load. Somebody, please help me with the struggle that I'm facing. Somebody please be there with me and for me. Share something that I heard from a man named Kim Forts this morning. We may not all be able to go teach and preach, but everyone can say and pray and reach. Hear that? We may not all be able to go teach and preach, but we can everyone say and pray and reach. That's every one of us. Each and every one of us. How do we stay, pray, and reach? My calling, my gift is not teaching. My calling, my gift is not preaching. But everyone's calling. Everyone's equipping. God says to reach. Every person, nobody is immune from it. Nobody can escape it. We're all called to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do we reach? We might stay and we might pray for that person that's carrying a heavy load. We might stay, we might pray if that person has a burden in their heart and it causes them to attack others. There's no better way to get to the root of the trouble than to pray for them and allow God to grow you to have a value of a relationship with a person, the very person who may have attacked. Love. Loving the Lord. You don't know what they can face. Some burden they're carrying causing them to lash out. Causing them to take advantage of the friendship that you have or the lack thereof. Reach out by carrying the burdens of one another. Paul's letting the church know that we should not stand at a distance and criticize. We should come to his or her side that's carrying a burden and help them in every possible way. Big picture is saying this, be the hands and feet of Jesus. Allow Jesus to live in and through us. How do we do this? We as a church, if I was to say right now, let's have a time of testimony. I'm fairly certain that many of you would get up and say, and I've done it in the past, would get up and say, I'm glad that I've been saved by the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for my church family. I can remember when Pastor so-and-so did this, or Deacon so-and-so did that, or Sunday School Sue did this, whatever the case, but you can remember when. But the question I want to ask us this morning is, tomorrow's church, when we're not here, what are they going to say about us? What are they going to say about us? Will they say, you know, when I was carrying that burden, Pastor Greg stood up? Yeah. Will they say, Deacon so-and-so helped? Will they mention Sunday school teacher always encouraged? See, to carry a burden doesn't necessarily mean, though it does include, strapping something to your back and carrying it for a while. But for us to be able to carry a burden also means to encourage someone along life's way. But when they're facing a struggle or a difficulty, it's good to know, I don't know if you know this, but it's good to know you're being prayed for. That helps you carry a burden a whole lot longer because you know that so-and-so is praying for you. Praying for you. That's what the church is called to be and to do. That's how we serve one another. It starts by valuing relationships. 9 and 10. Oh, we'll go back there in a moment. But do good to all men, comma, especially the household of faith. Because the world outside is looking. How do they treat one another? They treat, we don't want them to say, if they treat one another that way, I don't want a part of it. We want them to say, if they treat one another that way, I want to see what's going on in their life. I want to see what's happening and taking place. Let me tell you something. Whether you want people to see that or not, they see it. They recognize if you're attacking. They recognize your heart's attitude. Why? Because we can't hide it. We can't hide it from one another. And we sure can't hide it from our Lord and Savior. So it's highly important for us to be encouraging one another. One vital word of importance I'd like to share with you is we should not consider helping one another to be a burden. We should consider helping one another to be a joy. To be a joy in the lives of others. How does joy spread? By joy taking place. How does discouragement spread? By discouragement taking place. So which do you want to spread in the life, in your life? Joy? Or I'll just say, not. That's the question we have to ask ourselves. And it all revolves around valuing relationships. Reflecting back to our text as we come to Galatians chapter 6, Paul has just shared with us our actions and what they should look like since we now walk by the Spirit, not by the faith, by the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 states this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law." So what Paul does is very unique in what he does. Though the people, the Judaizers, you need Jesus and the law. And Paul says, the law is good. Here's what Jesus is. Jesus is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against us, there is no law. Christians, church is a Galatia, First Baptist Church, Union Grove. This is how you should live. This is how you should serve. Value. Relationships. I want to go a step farther. Carrying one another's burdens brings unity. If you're going through a struggle or difficulty or whatever the case may be, when somebody is there for you, you will never forget it. Case in point, two occasions. While 24-year-old, I had back surgery. You've heard this a thousand times. As long as I'm pastor, First Baptist Union Grove, you're probably going to continue to hear it because it's a very important part of my life. 24-year-old should not have to have back surgery, but I did. Lay flat on my back for 6 weeks. Casey was about 18 months. Can't pick up my dog. Don't know what I'm going to do in all my circumstances. But I have a Sunday school class. I can name names, but I won't. He said, can I help you? Can I help you do something while you're not doing well there? Years later, we won't talk about it long because it's kind of a sore subject, but I caught a pay bill on fire. When I was battling that Sunday school class, Craig, they didn't say this, but here's what I thought. Craig, I know it was your fault. You set the pay bill on fire. Can I move your yard for you? No, you can't get out. You don't need to have to let you infect it. That's second, third, three burdens. Let us care for you. Care that burden. So when Paige comes home from work, she don't have to worry about that. She can take care of you and girls. You know what first response Greg says? Because of Christ. Church, that's what Christ set us here to be united together. When a struggle comes, we're called to meet one another to Jesus. So whether it's mowing yard, whatever, maybe fix a meal, in that you do a great job of. But I want to tell you something. Don't slow down and don't close your eyes because you blank the mission. You'll miss it. We need to be there united together on the forefront, being the hands and feet of Jesus, so we can show other people this is what being a follower of Jesus Christ looks like. We have a gentle spirit. We help one another carry the burdens. Because he has made an impact and a difference in my life. In fact, Jesus prayed that we would do that in John 17, 20 through 23, where he said this, I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their message. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us, so the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me. May they be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they be made completely one, so that the world may know that you sent me and you have loved them as you have loved me. You see what Jesus says there? He prays time and time and time again in just a few short verses, four verses. May they be one. May they be one. May they be one. Why? So they'll say, see you, Father. So they'll see you, Father. If we're not one, all that tells me is they're not seeing the Father. So we need to ask ourselves the question, are we being one? Number three, and you fill in the blank, how do I value relationships? Allow time. Allow time. You see, relationships, yes, we take first steps, but relationships are built over time. Relationships are built over actions and reactions and words and the next words. Because it may take years to build something up, it takes seconds to tear something down. So we have to all invest in this word time. In other words, if Greg wanted potatoes for dinner tomorrow, it's not going to do me any good to go plan on today. They're not going to be ready. In other words, we cannot drop the seed, pick up the fruit tomorrow. In that, I'm reminded very, very quickly of a few years ago that I used to have cows. And I shared with you just a moment ago that I cut my own hay and I actually grew my own corn. Now, I wasn't a large farmer, but I lived a little bit in the back of Roger Gibson's yard, my grandfather's garden spot, and I had maybe 5 acres of corn. That's not a lot, but it's a lot for a green farm. Let's put it that way. I remember very plainly, though, when I planted it back here behind Roger's house, I don't know why, but the next day I went up there and I guess it's into the house, and look what I was planting. I was excited. Pretty young, crazy, still that way. Maybe not the young part. But Charles, I'll never forget, Charles Couch said, "It ain't up yet. It'll be a while before it's ready." You know what the first thing that came to my mind? I'm smart, Elliot. But God used that to teach me a lot of things over my life. It takes time to show people that you love. It takes time for plants to grow. It takes time for people to know that you value their relationship. It takes time for you to come to an understanding just how important you are. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus thinks you are so important that he gave his life for you. And paved your way to the cross. When he went to the cross, to be in heaven. He gave it all for you. So that word time, I want to share real quick. Like James 4:14 says, "You don't even know what tomorrow will bring or what your life will be. For you are like smoke that appears for a little while, then it vanishes." The Greek definition of two words that refer to time, one is chronos, one is kairos. Chronos means chronological or sequential movement of time. In other words, if I look at the clock like many people do, I can tell you what time it is. But the word kairos here is a specified term. As we look at our text, it might say the words in due season, or a time like this, or maybe like we talked about a few weeks ago about Esther. Maybe she was sent for a time like this. In other words, it was an opportune time that God had in store that he met you, or met me, or wants to meet another. Chronos. So let me ask you a question. In the middle of your chronos, when you're spending all this time doing stuff, do you give God kairos to spend time with you? Those God moments. Those opportune times that he wants to just speak to. And if we're in the middle of chronos, going and going and going, slow down. We miss the kairos. Wants to invest in you. Why? Because he loves you. In that, the Bible shares, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we all have a choice of where we will spend our time. So it's important for us to come to an understanding in this chronos that goes by time. Faster and faster. The older you get, the faster it goes. We had 6 graduates this past week. Let me tell you, it was yesterday when I graduated, and that was almost 30 years ago. It goes by so fast. Yes, enjoy the moment. But don't get so caught up in the chronos and miss the kairos that God wants to spend time with you. Little old you. How do we prevent him from spending time with us? Put his words out. And we don't listen to it. But if we want to pay attention to him, Philippians 3:12, just a couple pages over, says this: "Not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken a hold of by Christ Jesus." What is he saying there?
He's saying, spend time with God. He had a due season, a due time. He came and he did the gospel cross for you. Because he wanted to take a hold of you. And he wanted to let the world know that you were his. That's why he came to the cross. You should have the same attitude. To want to take hold of him. And not let go. Don't let go. Don't let Chronos, time, tick-tock. Slip you by and miss the one thing in his life. The one that says he loved you. The one that gave it all for you and for me.
Get plugged into a Bible-believing church and come to know this Jesus that loves you. Paul was bringing to a focus a point that we do not need to miss. Until Christ returns, time will keep ticking away. But until Christ returns, there's moments each and every day God wants to spend time with you. Are you giving him that opportunity? Are you serving him and serving others? As we get ready for a song of invitation this morning, spending time with God is a two-way street. In that we communicate to Him what's in our heart. We listen. Him to tell us how much He loves us. How much He values our relationship with God. That's the same attitude that we're called to have to people. So if you're here this morning, this is it. If you're here this morning and you've not surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, right now, it's ours. Right now, specific time, set aside for you to surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says that if you confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God is raising from the dead, we shall be saved. For the heart man believes in righteousness, the mouth confession made salvation. It's yours, the gift is there to take. But if you reject it, you say no, push it away. Thank you.
word, boy, just live.